He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
There is a game that our family likes to play with our pet, with our dog, Shara. Shara, I was reminded of this week, Jen was sitting at the couch at the table with Alex, and they just started like counting some things. She just started counting, and sure enough, our dog started getting super excited because her favorite game to play is a game we call Count. What we do is when we start counting, we can say one, her ears will perk up. If we say two, she's jumping up and down. By the time we get to three, she's barking because she's ready to play this game. We go into another room, close the door, and we'll start counting. When we get to 10, and she's barking like mad at this point in time, ready to go. By the time we count 10, we open up the door, and she runs out because by then, one of her boys, Eric or Alex, have hidden somewhere in the house. And it's her job, her mission, to hunt them out and to go seek them. And so we play this little game of hide and seek with our dog. It's something we do, and it's a lot of fun. And so we'll hide. And so as soon as she finds them, she'll bark, excited, I found them. And then we'll say, let's play again. She'll run back to that room for us to close the door, count to 10, and then off we go again. And Shara is this, it's short for Shahrazad. It's a name that was picked when we picked her. It is a Persian name, a name that is the name of a lady from 1001 Arabian Nights, from that whole kind of Persian story, that story of a king who would marry and shortly thereafter get bored and kill her and get married again. And again and again, he would repeat this. Well, Shahrazad did not want to die, so she would tell a very interesting story. And she'd tell an interesting story, and then it would get late, and she'd tell through the night and get late. She said, well, I'll finish the story tomorrow because it's already late and it's time for bed. And so she would continue to, when that story finished, she'd start a new story, end it halfway through, and the king would so much want to hear the rest of the story that, you know, he let her live another day. And so 1001 nights went on that way. And so we decided, you know, we want 1001 stories with our dog, and we named her Shahrazad. Jen actually looked at her face and just came up with it as well. But and this story that we have today from Matthew chapter 2 is a story about a Persian game of hide and seek, you might say. There are magi who will be coming, who from the area near Persia, and they are coming and they are looking. They are on the search, trying to find this baby, this Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. In this story, we have magi. They have traditionally been called kings, even from where we get the song "We Three Kings." And there has been some even tradition has even given them names and said what areas they were kings of, Persia or India or further beyond, and ideas of who are these magi. Magi, they are a group of people from another world and another worldview. And very likely, they could have been astrologers, people who looked to the stars. We already have them looking at a star in here, but people who tried to divine what the purpose of their life or the life of those around them was by looking beyond themselves and in the east from where they were. That was often by looking at the stars and trying to figure out news and trying to figure out signs from those times. And so these people who come from the east looking at the star, they come with an entirely different worldview. They come from another realm. They come from another country. They come with a totally different understanding of how to figure out what they're going to do with their life and what God's will or the will of the world or whatever it was their worldview would be. If they are anything like the Babylonians and the Persians and others from the east, they would have been those kind of stargazers and star worshipers, people who looked at the stars for guidance. And yet in this story, one of the things I find fascinating, as much as their search has nothing at all to do with the Jewish faith or the God that we know as the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, yet God decides to work through their false ideas of staring at the stars to reveal to them a divine truth. God is willing to save them and bring them to Jesus despite their own false beliefs. God works and speaks to people often in the midst of where they are currently right now. And the story of the birth of Christ is precisely that our God enters into our world and that Jesus comes into a particular time, in a particular culture, and he speaks that language and showing that indeed God will meet us where we are and we can overcome even our own strange ideas that we've developed about God and the world. I mean, the very story of God dwelling among us, Emmanuel meaning God with us and Jesus dwelling in our midst, is that God is willing to enter into where we are and live with us. And so Jesus, born into a particular time, particular culture, is one who's going to grow up as a Jew speaking Hebrew. But of his times, maybe also learning Arabic. But also of that time, learning the trade language, which was Koine Greek. He's someone who's going to learn and be a product of his time in his own way. And it just shows that God is one who enters into the world as we know it and is willing to speak to us. And he does so specifically to the Magi as well. He begins, I think, kind of by manipulating that star they're looking at. He has them pointing. They're following it. And they're doing their best to try to discern where God is leading them. And so they, by whatever means they have possible to them, start going towards this star. And it makes sense to them, if they're looking for a king, it makes sense to them that if this is the general direction of the star, that where would a king be except in the capital city? And so they stop in Jerusalem along the way. That in Jerusalem they stop and they're looking for the king. And they ask Herod about this too. They ask and they try to find out, where is the king of the Jews? We've heard about this. We assume it's here in the capital. We've been following this star all along. But their picture of exactly where he is, their discernment of being able to figure out where he is incomplete. And it's not until they stop and they talk with Herod and the priests come in and share with them from the prophets, and share with them from the scripture, that they're able to continue on the right road. So too, even though God is willing to meet us where we are, even though sometimes with our own ideas of who God might be, and God can sometimes speak in the midst of that, it is scripture that fully illuminates for us God's will and plan for us. There are so many opinions right now about what it takes to be all right with God and to live faithfully to Him. So many differing views of what God wants or how He is or how we should live that each person can kind of like be a denomination unto themselves, sometimes even within the same church. But we might remember that God does still reveal Himself to us even in the midst of that. The number of times I've heard someone say, I heard God speak to me through this, and they'll tell me this story, and I'll think to myself, wow, I would not have expected God to speak in quite that way. Or I would not have expected God to speak through those means. But yet this story shows us that God does surprise us in ways like that. But we can't find who Jesus truly is, where He really is for us and for our life, without also hearing and appealing to the Scriptures. This is what I think we find when their path is illumined after hearing that they needed to move on to Bethlehem. In our regards, in our lives, in our own search for meaning, our own search for direction, our own search and our desire to figure out what God wants out of us, I think we find clear answers when we are engaged in His holy Word. When it comes to knowing who God is and who this Jesus is, as we find out as we go into this, get ready for a new year, how do we live faithfully to the One who was born and dwelled in our midst? How do we continue on without just continuing on with our own opinions or our own intuitions, unless we're checking them with how God has most fully revealed Himself? And God has revealed Himself most fully, most clearly in Jesus Christ. That if we want to know who God is, what His character is, we're going to find it in how God chose to enter into this world. And that is through Jesus Christ. To put it another way, no matter how certain we are that God has said something to us or God wants something from us, if it's contrary to Scripture, if it's contrary to the way Jesus has revealed Himself, then it's not from God. Here are the Magi from the east, certain that the star is going to lead them to the king. But Matthew knows that astrology is not where we find God. Sure, God might find unique ways to reveal Himself to us, but God's purest truth is found and verified in the Word of God. And they have to stop and they have to hear that news before they're able to continue. And having heard what is true and having verified that what they thought was true of God, they continually following the star. And it's there then that they're able to find the King and they're able to find their Savior. And now this is the story I think that we like. This is a story that's enjoyable. This is a story I read every Christmas because it tells us and reminds us why we present the presents, why we get the joy of giving the best gift that we could come up with for that year to those whom we love. We love showing our family that they have value and that they have importance to us, just as these Magi show that Jesus had value and importance to them by giving them these kingly gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But these gifts that they give were not just gifts showing their value, not just gifts saying, hey, here's a king, so he is worth a king's offering of something like gold or an expensive a spice. But these are also symbols of allegiance. These are tokens of their fidelity. It is sacrificial giving, and it is giving in a way that says if they come and they kneel before Him and they give Him a gift, they are in a way saying, you are a king to whom I pledge my allegiance. You are one to whom I will be faithful. And so this offering is not just a gift to a king. It is a way of saying, you will be my Lord and I will follow you. And that God would choose Magi from a foreign land to come and worship. I mean, these aren't even God's holy people. These aren't the Jews. These aren't the Hebrews that were delivered from Egypt. Even their name Magi, I mean, just seems to say, wow, what exactly is that? We know it has the same root as magician. Is there something shady going on here? What kind of weird religious practices do they have? What kind of mystical things are they trying? Like, does one of them have a lightning bolt on their head? Like, who are these people? And so we just kind of, you know, soften the term a little bit. I think we say we three kings, or we say they're wise men. What we find in this group is that these are indeed strange people from another culture, another world. But it shows that God does not show favoritism in who He wants to bring to Jesus. That He's willing to save and deliver anyone, even astrologists, even people who come from near the Persian Gulf, even those who have zero connection to faith in Jesus Christ, people who have had no understanding at all of who God is or what He's done in the past. God can reveal Himself to anyone because God wants to save everyone. So God wants everyone to come and recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord, and He's willing to go to extreme measures to do so. If only we, His followers, would be as bold as He is, right? To be able to go to extreme measures, say, what can I do that even those who seem to have no background, no history of knowing who God is, might come to know this Jesus? Because if God is willing to begin a work in Magi of the Far East, we don't know what work He's already begun in the lives of those around us as well. And if He wants to bring them to Jesus to save them, He loves everyone enough to send His Son to live and die for us. This is a part of that Christmas story and is a part of our belief and is the core of the Christian message. And I think this story shows us that if this is possible with magi from the East, people whom God would have no reason to show interest, no reason, but yet He does. This story shows that God is not one who shows favoritism, but is able in His almighty power to extend His grace and His providence to anyone, to even me and anyone else and anyone of this world who's out of the loop and otherwise does not know who this Jesus is and does not know what they are doing. Here the Magi are trying their best to find God and His role in their life. Sure enough, they find some confirmation in Scripture, and then they do what's so hard, I think, sometimes for us to do. Sometimes I think we have an idea of what's right, we feel it in our gut, or our conscience speaks to us. We have an idea of what God's desire might be. And this is that prevenient grace. This is that God is working in us. But then there comes a moment when we realize, oh, wait a minute, it's not quite how I thought. My path has to change a little bit. God's taking me in a different direction than I initially thought or expected out of following Him. And that's exactly what happens to the Magi. They are following the star, and they stop in Jerusalem where they would expect a king to be. But yet God changes their path a little bit. And that can happen in our life too. Maybe it's from a lesson, maybe it's from a sermon, maybe it's from a passage we read in the Scripture, but we think we know where God is leading us, we think we're following faithfully, but sure enough, God tweaks it a little bit, sends us a little bit down a different path, and says, this is what I desire out of you. This is how you continue to be faithful. That we find that in those moments that sometimes I think we'll freeze, we'll balk at it, we'll say, I don't know if I was willing to go this far, but am I willing to go the rest of the way? But I think if we would be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings, particularly as we find it when we're reading in Scripture and hearing from His Word, then I think we might have the courage to step forward and see Jesus in a way we've never seen Him before. We search and we search, and I know God wants to reveal Himself to us. Even if what we've lacked in before is just obedience, we can say, okay, in this moment, God, I want to turn to You and follow that star. I want to follow Your direction. Today, I want to ask if there is something that God has begun, if God has said, okay, here I am. This is where your life is going. But there is yet something that might need to change. Or it might be something that God has, during this season or during this time, said, you know what, but there's something more. There's another path. There's another route that is just going to change just a little bit. But if you follow that, I want you to know without a doubt that you will see Jesus in a way that you've never seen Him before. Like a star in the sky that shines brighter than usual. That God is saying, there is a route. Continue to follow in faithfulness to seek after this Jesus, that God will direct our attention to it. But I think that we start to learn, we start to hear, and we start to know what God is doing when we spend time reading from His Word, as reading from His Scripture, seeing again and again how Jesus has been engaged with His people and how God wants to be engaged with us. The Magi could not find Jesus without pausing for a moment and hearing from those who knew Him already and knew of Him and directed them to Him. And that last step, I think, is hard. It's a step of obedience, a step of saying, okay, I want to find out what more God has to say to me. It's its own way of laying down our priorities, laying down whatever gets in the way and saying, I want to spend some time to try to listen to where God is going to direct me and how He could bring me closer to Jesus so I can know how to be more faithful to Him and realize again that there is a God who loves and saves me. And that this offering to Jesus is not just here's a token gift, but a way of saying, my entire life I want to give in devotion and allegiance to You. And so today, as we move through this Christmas season, and where we've celebrated and talked about Jesus who's come among us, The question for this Sunday as we continue in this Christmas season is, do we truly desire to see the Lord and to see Him at work in our life? Do we have something that's that has more value in our life than it should? Something that could we would need to lay down as a representative way before our Lord today? And I just wonder if this season, this is a time where we can say, I want to say without a doubt that my life is one that is going to start moving towards Jesus. Whatever I need to lay down, I will lay down as a gift and a sign of allegiance. And even more so, I will do everything I can to hear this year, to hear during this time what God is going to speak to me to help me know how I can live faithfully to Him and how God will continue to work that saving grace in my life. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that, that He has already begun that work and is guiding us. And today, let us open up our eyes to Him, for indeed, we can see that there is a God who is dwelling among us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ who is still with us, that as we follow Jesus, we will encounter anew a God who has said, this is a world who I love. You are a person whom I love, and I desire to dwell in your presence. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, today we come to you asking, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to where you are guiding us and where you are leading us. Lord, I pray that you would do that for us individually, that you would help us, Lord, to see that you are a God who is indeed directing our paths. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us moments to pause, to truly listen, and to say, God, where are you sending me now? And Heavenly Father, that we would be faithful to wherever you would lead. Dear Lord, I come to you thankful that we are able to worship and celebrate that your Son was born among us, that you are the God who dwells in our midst and comes to us as we are. And Lord, with that, we want to respond by saying, you indeed are worthy. And how can we live in full allegiance to you? Heavenly Father, we are in that time between where we celebrate the Christ who has come, and we recognize that you are the one who opens up our eyes and reveals yourself to us in amazing ways. And so, Heavenly Father, today I pray that you would help us to live in our lives in a way that honors and glorifies you. And even so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in such a way that also helps illumine the path to others who have no other way of knowing how to get to Jesus. But Heavenly Father, we might be able to share through prayer, through testimony, Lord, how you desire to save our friends, our neighbors, our family, that you are at work in our world today. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray all this today in Jesus' name.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.